De hambre, ahora incluso escenifican crucifixiones para llamar la atención de opinión pública y políticos. El motivo, tienen miedo de que las promesas en esa materia hechas por el gobierno queden en agua de borrajas. Biden inició su presidencia anunciando una reforma migratoria ambiciosa, con un camino a la ciudadanía para millones de indocumentados. Con un brazo legislativo de mayoría demócrata, muchos no entienden por qué medidas como esa ni siquiera se contemplan un año después. Una de las principales causas, el filibusterismo.
El filibusterismo es básicamente un procedimiento legislativo destinado a proteger las voces de las minorías en una asamblea legislativa. Hay diferentes tipos de filibusterismo y diferentes cuerpos legislativos en todo el mundo. En el Senado de Estados Unidos se deriva de una regla aprobada en 1807 que básicamente permite a los senadores hablar todo el tiempo que decidan sobre cualquier tema que elijan sin ser interrumpidos. Y al hacerlo, pueden evitar que las medidas se sometan a votación y pueden impedir que se lleve a cabo una legislación.
Aunque los demócratas tienen la mayoría en la Cámara de Representantes, en el Senado están 50-50 con los republicanos. Esto supone que el partido de la oposición pueda usar el filibusterismo para impedir la aprobación de determinadas leyes. La única forma de poner fin al obstruccionismo es con una mayoría de 60 votos o 3/5 del Senado. Una cifra imposible de conseguir para el partido de Biden. Esto ha supuesto avivar el debate sobre la eliminación del filibusterismo, algo muy controvertido a uno y otro lado del espectro político.
Particularmente en los últimos años ha sido una herramienta legislativa ocupada en su mayoría por el Partido Republicano para evitar que medidas progresistas avancen en la Cámara Alta. No obstante, hay que decirlo, los demócratas en el pasado también han utilizado la figura.
Los progresistas quieren acabar con este proceso porque ellos quieren que la legislación del presupuesto, todo tipo de otra legislación que está más hacia la izquierda, que sea aprobado. Pero el pueblo americano es un pueblo centrista y los progresistas, izquierdistas, demócratas quieren deshacerse de eso y quieren que las legislaciones que ellos estén apoyando son las que se han aprobado, y eso no es parte de la tradición de los Estados Unidos.
Sea como sea, el filibusterismo no está recogido en la Constitución y de hecho se ha reformado en el pasado. Expertos en legislación advierten de que en las últimas décadas ha pasado de ser un mecanismo para proteger principios que preocupan a la minoría a un arma para obstruir leyes apoyadas por la mayoría de los estadounidenses. Hay que tener en cuenta que la composición del Senado estadounidense ya en origen es desproporcionada. Hay 2 senadores por cada estado, independientemente de la población que tengan. A modo de ejemplo, 15 territorios que juntos suman menos habitantes que California obtienen 30 senadores frente a los 2 de ese estado. Esto supone dar un poder extraordinario a zonas rurales y normalmente de voto conservador. ¿Por qué entonces no se reforma?
Todas las mayorías podrían haberlo eliminado o modificado al filibuster mucho más sustancialmente, pero no lo hicieron. Y creo que es porque en ciertas circunstancias la mayoría, cuando no quiere hacer algo, puede echarle la culpa a la minoría. Por ejemplo, cuando la mayoría está muy fraccionalizada y no se puede poner de acuerdo, es más fácil echarle la culpa a la minoría.
Es decir, el filibusterismo se ha convertido en la excusa perfecta para no gobernar de manera efectiva sobre temas controvertidos, pero a la vez importantes. Además de derechos para los migrantes, la ley de voto o contra la violencia policial son otros ejemplos de iniciativas atascadas en el Senado, pese a contar con el apoyo de la mayoría. ¿Supone el filibusterismo poner palos de rueda a la democracia o es más bien una herramienta de unión de la nación? Más allá de lo que opinen unos y otros, lo cierto es que acaba por marcar el destino de millones de personas. Elena Villar, RT, Estados Unidos.
Así llegamos al final de esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Nuestro más profundo agradecimiento a todos los medios y personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
They told me, you know, we'll give you a day, we'll give you a week, however long it takes for you to accept our help to be healed and to become a child of God and denounce being gay.
Honoring the memory of Dr. Anonymous, coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
I got three quarters of the way through several times and was like, well, I have no idea how this would end, so I had to start over. But one thing I know is I can't end a story without hope.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappelle. Nicaragua's NGO Purge targets its oldest queer group. Gay Taiwanese movie sings out a universal love song and upending the artistic process with Amanda Kayback. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Joe Bainline.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 28, 2021. The government of Nicaragua is aiming to shut down the country's oldest LGBTQ advocacy group. The Interior Ministry has asked the National Assembly to...
Looks like another rush job here for the Free Radio on the Net show of December 2nd, 2021. And we're going to be zipping to the Benchlands, to Food Not Bombs lot, and maybe to the Huff meeting, mostly with voices of folks who are outside and me doing the interrogating. So if that's what you think you'd be interested in, then that's what you're going to get.
I'm tired of moon songs, a of Star and of June songs, they simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So let's begin with the, well, I guess the most, in a way, important news, although it's a little old. I would have presented it earlier, but the people that were involved chose not to get in touch with me, or didn't work too well. That's the situation out at the Pajaro Homeless Union in the town of Pajaro, the town of Watsonville, the river that runs between them, and the struggles of the union out there, the group of people organized who are living on the riverbanks and have been doing that for some years, led by Monica Tone, who the judge, the magistrate who was hearing the injunction case that concerned them, and the attorney on their side kept calling her, referring to her as Monica Tony. I don't know if they were talking about her hairdo or what. But in any case, there was a judgment issued by the court. I put up the court's hearing and talked about the court's hearing and kept asking Monica Tone by phone what was going on, and I couldn't get through to her. Still couldn't get through to her today at the Huff meeting, though we did reach her voice briefly. We told her we could be calling back briefly, but when we called back, we got the usual answering machine from her. She could be very busy, or could she have decided not to talk to us, me, I don't know. But in any case, I got this information late, otherwise I would have reported it on Thursday when it came out, or on Sunday, several days after it came out. It's the court decision that essentially removes the injunction as of December 13th, which is in about 2 weeks, a little less than 2 weeks, actually. And I'm going to read the conclusion. It's a 10-page injunction, which I've posted on Santa Cruz Indie Media, which you're welcome to read if you want. But you can also just listen into this, because this, I think, is the key part. If you do go to the story I write about it, which is relatively lean because I wasn't able to get much information from the people who are the plaintiffs in the lawsuit, those who are trying to protect themselves through attorney Anthony Prince and through legal process, you can, I think the conclusion is interesting, and you can, there are the entire 10-page court decision is, I put it up, thank you Wes White for sending it to me, on the indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. So, here's the conclusion. For the foregoing reasons, and you can go read the specifics if you want, and I'll summarize them actually, but plaintiff's motion for a preliminary injunction prohibiting defendants from clearing the encampment is denied. However, to address issues raised regarding the adequacy of the notice and the availability of at least some number of motel vouchers, the parties are required to do the following. Before I get into that, I'll say that what the other 8 pages talks about is, it states in essence that this was a closed area that the campers were on, the survival campers, well, they had been on for months, in some case years, and therefore they had no legitimacy in being there in the same way, let's say, although this is kind of a peculiar argument, that the campers who were on the San Lorenzo benchlands had in December of last year, when the same magistrate, the same federal judge, granted not just a TRO, a temporary restraining order, not only extended it, but turned it into a preliminary injunction, which lasted with a modification or two or three or four until June, the end of June, actually, of this last year, this year, actually. So what's the difference between the Pajaro campers and the San Lorenzo survival campers? Well, supposedly it had to do with one was a public area, one was a private area. But, of course, parks and the San Lorenzo Park has never been a public area at night. And, indeed, on many occasions, it's been declared a private area by the city. So this really was a sort of an artificial distinction. It seemed that the court paid more attention to the rules and priorities and schedules of the folks who were supposedly working to clean up the river than they were dealing with the realities of the people camping there and their history with those agencies and the lack of accommodations for those folks in both the Monterey County and in Santa Cruz County, since they're sort of on the county line. And anyway, the conclusion continued, however, to address issues raised regarding the adequacy of the notice and the availability of at least some number of motel vouchers. Note, not enough to cover all those who were being impacted, the 17 people whose, according to Wes White, tents and homes were destroyed, maybe more. The parties are required to do the following. This is the judge's order. One, as soon as practicable and no later than November 30th, the county shall provide written notice of both the need to vacate the encampment by December 13th, absent agreement of the county or further order of this court, and two, the procedures that the county will follow for any personal property that residents are unable to move or unable to take with them when they vacate the encampment through council. That is, say, you don't have to go out there and give it to the actual victims of this mass deportation from this area, but just give it to their attorney and hope that he gives it to them. Service of both notices shall be through counsel to plaintiffs, that's Anthony Prince, and by personal service on all active campsites of the encampment. Okay, so I really sit corrected. It is going to be distributed to the campsites at the encampment as well. By delivering a copy of the notices to each site, as well as posting the notice throughout the encampment. I guess the procedures are going to go to the attorney, but the notice is going to go to the campers and the attorney. That's what I make from that paragraph. Also, the property storage notice shall explain the property will be stored for at least 90 days, other than trash or dangerous items. And it's not itemized what they regard as trash or dangerous items, or allowed for any kind of neutral party to make that decision. It isn't allowed, in other words. The cops will make that decision, the sheriffs, the authorities who do this demolition work, or those who are hired to do it. Where it will be stored and how residents may access it. And I remind you that here in Santa Cruz, once your party is taken by police, it can be quite a trial to get your stuff back, because the hours that it's available in Santa Cruz, the police station, are only 6 hours per week on Tuesday and Thursday. I think it's 2 hours on one of those days, 4 hours on the other day. The parties are ordered to meet and confer to determine reasonable methods for accessing the stored personal property, such as setting up regular walk-in hours each day, which would be far more liberal than in Santa Cruz, considering that plaintiffs may not have access to cell phones. The parties shall also meet and confer regarding how the county will provide assurance with packing the personal property for those who require it. So, in other words, they're going to help you move your stuff to an undisclosed location until, well, that's, of course, one of the key issues. Is there shelter? The plaintiffs, Monica Tone of the Homeless Union, Anthony Prince, and a lot of us here in, here in Santa Cruz and also in Salinas, who've been kind of being supportive of these folks, say there is no adequate shelter for that number of people. And even if you look at the situation in both counties, but the argument that was used to claim that this was not that much of a hardship was that, oh, these campers, they'll just have to move their tents somewhere else, and it's not going to be any worse. In fact, it may be less dangerous than being on the levee, which the authorities have assured us is very dangerous. and also provides a danger to deal with, to harass or impede flood control activity and damage the damaged quality, what do we call it, the levees that are in essence kind of dams against flood. That's the get the hell out. The TRO, the temporary restraining order that has protected the campers, will be lifted as of 8 a.m. on December 13th. So get out as of December 13th, which is going to be not too far off. Looks like Monday or so of December, a week from Monday. By November 30th, that already is supposed to have happened, parties are ordered to meet and confer regarding accessibility of additional available motel vouchers if the unsheltered persons in the encampment exceed the 25 vouchers that the county has stated are available. And according to Wes White, at today's Huff meeting, when he spoke to us by phone, he's an activist in Salinas who has been closely involved with defending the rights of the Pajaro encampment, has said that there are 54 people who met and requested motel vouchers, not the 25 that the city or the county, I should say, has claimed are those that actually have requested them. And therefore, actually, they first, they only brought five vouchers. If you listen to some of the audio I played of the protests and the resistance to the initial sweeps that happened last week, you'll hear the at least the claims of the campers that, well, you'll hear the claim, you'll hear the offers of the county, which brought in some social service workers from Monterey College, Monterey County. I'm not sure what the name of the college is down there, but that college, and with five vouchers rather than 25. And then went and got 25 as Monica Tone boldly kept demanding that they provide vouchers for every single person they were displacing. And finally, for any plaintiff or other unsheltered persons at the encampment, the order continues, who choose to be relocated to one of the motels where the motel vouchers are accepted, or to a shelter within the county of Monterey, the county shall provide transportation to the motel or shelter at a time when the motel or shelter is open and allowing entrance for residents. And a status conference is set for December 16th at 11 a.m., held in person before the undersigned. And there'll be a joint status report that will not to exceed five pages that is ordered that they present to the court by December 14th. And as I said, I posted the full order online. It's not a very good outcome as far as I can see. Although, you know, Prince and the activists led by Monica Tone are to be commended for getting the delay, at least, although they weren't able to do so in a timely manner for at least 17 people whose tents were destroyed, according to Wes. And even though they were informed by Prince that the, according to Wes White and Monica, that the actual filing had been done, they kept telling the sheriffs that, and the sheriff said, we have no record of it, and continued their demolition work, or they enabled the demolishers to go in and arrest those who were standing in the path and saying, no, don't destroy their homes, and arrest us first, and they did. They don't want to be arrested, but they wanted them to wait for the TRO, which did come the next day. So, I mean, it did come, it just came late. One wonders, since notice was posted days before, and I believe that's, I don't have the exact date, but it was some days before this happened, and the idea that this seemed to have been left until the last minute, and that, you know, one doesn't know the kinds of problems that Anthony Prince had in getting it together, because he's also dealing with numerous other cases, or at least has been dealing with them over the last few months in Sausalito and Novato, perhaps other spots that I don't know about. He doesn't confide in me, and I can't really give you good information on that. He doesn't seem to confide a lot in other union members here either, at least if he does, they're not talking about it, though I think they would, actually, if they knew more about it, at least some of them. So that's the really the news of the week, if you will. as far as I'm concerned. I don't have any lot of new information on what's happening in Santa Cruz, but there's a lot of interesting conversations I've had with people both in the Benchlands and at the Food Not Bombs lot, and we're going to hear some of that now. After, of course, we hear a little musical break.
They tried to pass an amendment in the U.S. Congress. Seems these thugs have some grievance to redress. They said we all must pledge allegiance, cause that is what they mean. They went and desecrate this symbol of hypocrisy and greed. But the flag is just a rag. Yeah, sing along. The flag is just a rag. You know it. Just a worn out, tired, dirty, blood-soaked rag. That's the hard part, but you'll get it next time. Like they say in Mexico, Yankee, go home. Uncle Sam and his club thinks the world's there to roam. And to make the point, well, they do the traditional thing. Light a match and let freedom ring, cause the flag is just a rag. Let me hear you. The flag is just a rag. Shout it out. Just a worn out, tired, dirty, blood-soaked rag. Pledge allegiance to the symbol, well, how about the deed? Allegiance to democracy or blind authority, it's a flag of war from L.A. to Vietnam. It desecrates itself each time the Air Force drops a bomb. Yeah, the flag is just a rag. Oh, the flag is just a rag. Just a worn out, tired, dirty, blood-soaked rag. Take it away, Eric.
That was indeed the flag desecration rag, David Rovix. On June 21st, 1989, he remembers the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that burning the U.S. flag is legally protected speech. Obviously. And often a damn good thing to do to express opposition to U.S. foreign policy, though it may offend others, for sure. Sometimes, however, you're known by the quality of the enemies you make. So let's listen in now on some Food Not Bombs conversations from a few days ago, November 29th, and learn what we can. So it's here we are again at the Food Not Bombs parking lot, 5 after 11 on the 29th, talking with...
Samuel Battle.
And shall I call you Sammy, Sam, or Samuel?
Sammy is fine.
Sammy, that's what I was calling you before, sort of. So you have an update, and also, of course, you probably know about the fentanyl deaths.
Yes, I do.
Any, give us whatever you want to tell us.
Well, let's go up on the update about the AA on 412 Front Street. Last night, The guy here might remember us talking about racism at the Philly.
I do.
And somebody over there was trying to mess with my stuff. And I'm like, dude, stop messing with my stuff. And later in that meeting, he said the word nigger in the meeting. And the chair, the person chairing the meeting, heard it. She was like freaked out. She's like, what the hell?
What
kind of look on her face.
What was the sentence he used it in, do you remember?
He was saying, like, why didn't people got to act like niggers? And I'm like, and there was only two black people in the meeting. Right. And the guy saying this was white, named Jeremiah. Uh-huh. And at that point, I was like, really? And then he says he has 6 months of sobriety. I start laughing my ass off because I know that's bullshit. The secretary named Chelsea says, hey, can you get Battle out of here? I'm starting to get scared. I was like,
that's you?
Yeah, I'm Battle. That's my last name.
Right.
I'm like, scared, why? So I calmed down. And then at the end of the meeting, I approached my black friend and I tell him, like, yo, did he really say what I thought he said? And he's like, yeah. So me and him walk up to Jeremiah. I'm like, dude, what the hell's going on? In my old days of sobriety, when I was still using, I'd be smacking you right now. It's not okay to be calling someone the N-word. Like over a week ago, I got banned for calling someone a hoe. But it's okay for you to call someone nigger. That's not right. It's racist. Why is this okay? And while I was yelling at the guy, upset, the secretary, Chelsea, said at the 7:30 meeting, hey, Battle, if you don't calm down, I'm about to call the cops on you. I'm like, why? Why are you calling the cops on me? I'm not even hitting this guy. I'm not threatening him. I'm trying to express how I feel about this word being used. And you want to call the cops on me? How about you tell him to get out? Why am I the only one getting kicked out for saying certain words like ho and this and that? But it's okay to be called the N-word here at the Front Street AA. This is not the first time I've been called that. So this morning, somebody stole something there, and then I got upset about the whole incident last night, and they called the cops on me, and I took pictures of all the people that
kick you out.
They're most likely going to kick me out again. That's what I believe, yes, because when I went back there to take pictures of people that were racist, they called the cops on me and told me to leave. I'm like, really? So I'm not... y'all say not to break down nitty, but y'all are being racist at meeting level, not doing nothing about it. So this needs to be brought to immediate attention. This needs to be brought to someone's attention, because if y'all are not going to handle it at an AA level, somebody else needs to do something about it, because this should not be allowed. We got people being hated on because they're homeless, and we got people being called nigger in the meeting. Like, it's not allowed. So
she was upset because you expressed yourself strongly.
Yes, I expressed myself extremely strongly. I've been through a lot of hate in my life. And I'm like,
as a white guy who hasn't suffered the way you suffered for this kind of shit, nonetheless, I point out that, let me move out of the way here. If somebody says the word nigger and they're talking about something else rather than talking directly to you, there's a difference, although I'm not saying it's any less offensive, but there's a difference between saying, calling you a nigger, and saying, this nigger, when they're talking about someone else. In other words, it may be a lot of people who are outside and some people who are just inside who are kind of ignorant use the term without even thinking about it. They aren't trying to be offensive.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? It's like a southerner or something.
It may seem like that to some people, but when it's in the room full of only two black guys and everybody else is white,
very insensitive.
You gotta look at the black people that may have been through trauma because of that word.
Particularly in an AA meeting.
Yes, and like me, I've had someone try to stab me a while ago over there. It became a whole hate crime incident and went on the Sentinel and everything because somebody tried to stab me by Mike Fox a while ago after calling me the N-word. A lot of people have been through a lot of trauma because of that word. So it's just something that never should be used. It's one of the most hateful words of all time. It's like saying someone, calling someone a faggot or any discriminatory word. Any word that claims you as something or discriminates you is not acceptable nowadays. Because, like, look, I'm bisexual, and I'm happy about it. In the old days, people wouldn't admit that. Look, I'm black. I'm mixed. It's the new age now.
You're homeless.
Yeah, and I'm homeless. And I'm a criminal, but I'm okay. I'm accepted in people's eyes. People look up to me. People are my friends. That being said, this is the age of acceptance.
Hopefully.
Or it should be.
For sure.
That being said, people need to get rid of the old ways and live in the new way.
Get rid of your violence.
You're funny.
So, see, I guess the point is that some people interpret strong emotions as violent.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean you should stop your strong emotions, but it also means you have to understand that's how some people react.
Yeah, a lot of people react like that because they've been through something in their life that
traumatizes them.
Yes, and they're speaking with their emotions. And a lot of black people, they're just loud in general. That's just how we are. When we're happy, we're loud. We laugh loud as fuck. We talk loud. Hey, what up, da 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 da. Even when we're mad, everything we do is pretty much loud. It's just how we are. We're not trying to be aggro. This is just how we are. We like being loud. We like screaming at football games. We like going like, hey, brother, that's just how we are. Doesn't mean people have to be scared of that or assume that we're being dangerous because we're loud. Like, anybody raised in the South is going to have, like, a higher voice. Because even my mom is from Tennessee. When breakfast was done, she'd yell, come and get it. And we'd run in the house and get it. That's just different way people are, different lifestyles people need to get adjusted to. People are not used to. Some people have a little bit louder personality than others, but they need to get used to that. They can't be like, oh, this guy's dangerous or this is because something's weird.
Are you banned from the veterans place, or is it temporary, or what was it just at that moment? What's the deal?
They're trying to ban me from the AA fellowship. 412. I was never banned from veterans. I was banned from AA.
And so has that happened, or is that just something?
It's happened once already, and now they're trying to ban me again.
And do you get a hearing? What's the story for that process?
They have an emergency business meeting. And then from this emergency business meeting, they have a whole bunch of people, and they pretty much explain what happened, and then they pretty much try to figure out what they want to do with the person.
Who decides?
Well, it's through a group conscience.
You get to be a part of that group?
Yes, but no matter what I say, I'll be voted out regardless. It's just how it is. My point means nothing.
Really? So that's what you found in the past, or that's always been true?
That's what I've noticed, my own experience there. Like a while ago, people were calling me the N-word there. I was getting upset, blah, 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 blah.
Now, is that always true when a person is faced with a desire for eviction by somebody else?
No.
Do they always get evicted, or what's the deal?
No, not always. The court system is more justified than the AA system at 412 Sun Street. At least, I've been fighting a case for like 6 months, and I still haven't been proven guilty because I have my rights. Here at AA, on the Felly, at 412, they're like one-sided. They got their opinion, they got their mind made up. Even when they start the meeting, they already got their mind made up. They just have the meeting just because it's...
Do you have any supporters?
I got some supporters, yes. I got Josh that's trying to support me. I got my mom, this and this and that. But a lot of people that are against me. So it's like, ugh. And I'm just like, when I went there yesterday, I told him, like, look, I'm mentally unstable. I just watched my friend die here in the parking lot from a fentanyl overdose.
Name of the guy?
I don't remember the name, but I used to hang out with him and get stoned with him and get drunk with him all the fucking time. He was somebody that was gone from Santa Cruz for a while, and he just got back into town, and he was getting loaded all night.
And when did this last death happen?
Well, this happened yesterday. I was at Food Not Bombs, and I was eating my food around like 12, and he was there, kind of like passed out. We didn't know if he was breathing or not. No, don't offer me booze. I don't drink. No. Sorry about that. And pretty much.
People offering some drink to folks who are here. I guess some people are not clean and sober.
Yep. Glad I can refuse alcohol, even in the worst state of mind. And so I'm here eating my food around 12 and smoking weed. And we see this guy, like, nodded out. and we didn't know if he was breathing or not, but we saw his
white guy,
old, gray hair, kind of tall, and we thought he was moving a little bit, so we let him sit there for a while because he was moving, he was still breathing, this and that. And then like a couple hours later, he wasn't moving at all anymore. He was no longer moving. He was obviously no longer breathing. And we ran over there. And I instantly knew he was dead. When I got out, I put my ear to his chest, and he was no heart rate, no pulse, no nothing. I tried doing chest compressions. I'm like, fucking breathe, breathe, breathe. And he wasn't breathing. And I was like, fuck. And then I told him, like, yo, tell the medics this guy's dead. And they hand me the phone. They're like, yo, is there a heart rate? I'm like, no, this nigga's dead as a doornail. This dude's dead. There is no heart rate. He's flatlined. He's gone. And I was so upset. Everybody was all trying to tell me, like, yo, what's his name? This and this and this. Everybody's all asking me because I witnessed the most. I was like, dude, I'm not in the right mindset. I got complex PTSD. I just watched someone I know for a long time die. I was like, I'm not trying to deal with this. Why can't somebody else answer these questions? Because there was, like, helicopters here and all that.
How many cops showed up?
Shit, a number of them, a squad at least. 5, 6. I can't really say, there was a lot. Because there was like 3 or 4 cars, including a white unmarked van. And this is part of the reason why I was so upset when I went to AA, because I went to AA after trying to get my mind right and get some mental stability. And then when that dude says the N-word, I was like, fuck, let's do everything now. I lost it.
You realize that you just used the N-word referring to a white guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, naturally, without thinking about it, right?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, and you didn't mean it in a derogatory way.
No. I was talking about the guy saying nigger in the meeting. I wasn't referring to him.
When you were talking to the medic, you said this nigger's dead.
Yes.
And that didn't mean this guy I don't like who's inferior and full of shit is dead. You meant this guy is dead.
I was upset when I said that. I was upset because...
You weren't criticizing him.
No, I wasn't criticizing him at all. I was just really upset. I'm like, exactly. How many ways do I have to tell you this dude is dead?
Right.
Why you ask me on the phone? I know this guy is dead. There's no heart rate. I did chest compression. I know he's dead, so...
So you used the word nigger because it was emphatic.
And it wasn't really nigger. It was just nigger. I'm like, dude, this nigger's dead.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I don't know how many times I have to tell you. This dude is dead.
That was the way you emphasized it with feeling.
Yeah, I was so upset with him asking me if he was dead and if he was breathing over and over and over. I'm like, how many times do I have to tell you? Why are you making me upset? This is my friend. He's dead. Just come here and pick up this dead body and stop asking me if he's dead.
And when you came back to the lot here, did you find any kind of support for, you know, having a your
well,
friend this family?
I went to Cooper, and that lives in a tent over here, and I asked her for some flowers so I could put on my friend's grave, and because she just got a whole bouquet, and she sat around and said, I'll find something. And later on, she let me pick 2 flowers, so I put it on the grave. Before that, I tried to get some gas. I tried to make a cross with gas so I could light it, make a lit cross, and it's like in respect, but I couldn't get the thing lit, so I bumped some flowers instead. It was like, so I was happy. I felt like I was just upset because when it happened, I tried to pull a blanket over his body, and I closed his eyes, and here's Dread Eye coming, trying to open his eyes. I'm like, dude, just let him rest in peace. He's dead. Just like, I'm already upset that this David's body be. And then all the cops trying to talk to me, and about like 6 cops getting the same report from me. I'm like, dude, didn't your partner get the report?
Sounds familiar.
Oh, so you have experience in that?
No, but I've heard other people describing that's what happened.
And it's just like, I don't need hella people asking me. I'm like, can't you just see my friend is dead? I'm just like, dude, go away. Stop asking me these questions. So it was like really hectic yesterday. But what's one thing good is we've been... I'm still here. I'm not drinking. I'm talking to you, and I'm just like upset with everything involved, because like the racism in AA that's been going on, that's been getting loud, and they always talk about not breaking people's anonymity and all that, but no one's doing anything about it, because the only people that know what's going on is the people in AA, and they're all okay with it. I'm just like, that's not, I'm not okay with it.
Now, there was also another death here, right? I'm skipping the subject back to this death thing. I heard there were three deaths here. Is that accurate?
I heard there was another death, but I don't know about the other deaths. I only know about that guy. Like, I can even show you where he died.
We're walking over to the, closer to the Santa Cruz Community Credit Union. Underneath the actual sign of the Santa Cruz Community Credit Union. And you're pointing out that in the first disabled parking spot.
His bike was too tired right here, and he was just like this. Like,
and you were lying down on the ground.
Like
just flat out with arms laying both sides.
And looks like somebody took the flowers. Look.
Well, you did it. You know, you made a memorial. And again, we've been talking with
Samuel.
Samuel, is there anything else you want to say?
Thanks for listening to my story.
Well, thanks for giving your story, man.
You're welcome.
All right. With a man who says we need more peace, here's being offered a drink. That's nice. What's your name?
Philip.
Philip, have you seen recent warlike activities or peaceful activities or something in the middle?
I be seeing a lot of fights around here, and people need to stop fighting around here, because a lot of volunteers might come, and a lot of volunteers don't come no more because there's too much problems over here, having too much fights around here and too much going on, and I need more peace and more stuff going on.
Are you a volunteer yourself?
Yes.
Apparently you're still a volunteer. You're coming back in spite of any difficulties?
Yes. I'm helping everybody out. I help everybody out.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for 30 years.
And how long have you been at the Food Now Bombs lot?
14 years.
Well, we haven't been here for more than 2 years, so...
Yeah, 2 years.
Right.
And I am, I'm trying to make everybody happy around here.
Now, has anybody recently died here that you know of?
Yeah, I saw one guy over there. I gave him some coffee, and I gave him a shirt, and I've been praying for it all day long, and hope it's no more dying people around here.
When did you learn that this guy had died?
I've been seeing him. He came to get a shirt, and I said, here you go. He said, thank you very much, and he thank you. He said, thank you. And thank you everything. And then after that, I not saw him for a while.
Do you know the guy's name?
No.
And was he tall, short, white, black?
White.
He's white. Tall, about your height?
Yeah, like my height.
And you're about, what, 6 feet?
Yeah, 6 feet.
And when did you learn he was dead? If you remember.
Yesterday.
Any time, afternoon, evening?
Like in the afternoon, like 2:30, 3 hours ago.
Did you see him, like, is this when police arrived, or was this before?
The police arrived that time.
I got you. And this was a fellow over there?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the fellow we just talked to Samuel about.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add?
I want everybody to be good and be happy and have peace around here.
And again, we've been talking with?
As everybody.
And your name is?
It's Philip.
And again, thank you, Philip.
You're welcome.
I don't know if there's any pie throwers in the audience. Yeah? Planning on throwing any pies? I think there'll be some pie throwing going on in D.C. in the next... I don't know if there will be. I guess they got those places pretty heavily guarded. But I know Dave will be down there, so you never know what'll happen. But the president of the International Monetary Fund got hit with a pie in the face several weeks ago in Bangkok. And up in New Hampshire, they got the genetic engineer Neil First. Dave Pike did that. Or, no, Creamy Jeans is his name. Agent Creamy Jeans. And And they got Charles Hurwitz out in California, the mayor of San Francisco, and a whole bunch of other people that really desperately deserved pies in the face, or probably a lot more. So I wrote a song for the Biotic Baking Brigade, and I hope you all sing along with me. If you don't know the words, you know, you'll pick them up by the second chorus or so.
And David Rovix is singing about the Biotic Baking Brigade, who pied Willie Brown when he was mayor in 1996 or thereabouts, and got some stiff sentences for it, even though it was clearly a political act that didn't injure him other than perhaps his dignity a tad.
See the man in his limousine, in his tie and well-pressed shirt, hoping that he's not been seen on the lookout for dessert. He knows that he is guilty, and a visit might be paid by the vegan vigilantes of the Biotic Baking Brigade. What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the Baking Brigade delivers.
There's the chorus.
If you sell your city's soul to the landlord's greedy pack, you, my friend, have earned yourself a tasty pastry snack. You can call yourself a liberal and hope your crimes will fade, but your sellout soul will be exposed by the Biotic Baking Brigade. What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the Baking Brigade delivers. If you cut down the last of the forests, spew poison in the air, don't you be surprised to find that cheesecake in your hair. Yes, if you are a corporate criminal, you've surely made the grave to receive a fresh baked goodie from the Biotic Baking Brigade.
Here we go.
What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the Baking Brigade delivers. Scoundrels of industry, we know of your disgrace. So smile for the camera with the cream pie in your face. You can hope that we won't find you out as you're hiding in the shade. Someday soon you'll meet your doom, the Biotic Baking Brigade.
Here we go.
What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the Baking Brigade delivers.
One more time.
What's that sailing through the air in the boardroom? See them shiver. You can spend your life hoping for pie in the sky, but the Baking Brigade delivers.
And David Rovix calls that one a song for the BBB, and he writes, in the years leading up to and just after the turn of the 21st century, there was a spate of pie-throwing activity going on in many countries, with rich and powerful men having their just desserts delivered directly to their faces on a regular basis. On June 21st, 2000, former Enron executive Jeffrey Skilling was a very deserving recipient of one such delicacy. And I played this song before on this show, but I thought it was worth playing again, and occasionally I do. And I did. Hope you liked it.
It's about 11:30, 11:25. I'm here at the Funabombs parking lot on the 29th of November talking with...
Dreamcatcher.
Dreamcatcher, you're in your hooch, so to speak, here with... got a mat you're sitting on. You got your artwork around you. Some of it's displayed for public view. I see lots of mushrooms, but I don't see no feathers. Now, what's going on here? There's a feather. Indeed. And
with my tears on it.
Really?
Yeah.
Real tears?
Yeah, that's because I missed my mom and dad when they went, because they made Thanksgiving.
Here's a black background.
White rose.
White rose on a white red rose on a black background.
Yeah, with glazing paint for glass. And I hit the jackpot when I hit the
yin and yang with fireballs rather than flowers.
Right.
Or feathers.
Right, and one of my latest strikes
and
is
that's
this.
Your new car that you haven't yet unveiled.
Right, look at that. Doesn't that look like it's aerodynamically...
It looks like some kind of a weapon to me.
Well, yeah, when you're moving 300 miles an hour, you become airborne no matter what you're made of or what shape you are.
What kind of fuel are you going to run on there, Mr. Fuel Waster Guy?
The same kind of fuel, but just a shorter track. They run an eighth mile now because they go so fast in a quarter. They become airborne. Almost 300 miles an hour is airborne.
Even with no wings. So, any reports on the death of people here in the parking lot recently?
Yeah, I slept through it. You know, people want to OD and not know who they're dealing with or what they're getting when they're getting a deal, you know. They ought to come see me. I can keep them safe. Yeah, real
safe. Some news, one of the two.
Well, you know, somebody thought they were buying coke. The four people, that's where I got. I know one of the men that survived. And he's where I'm storing half of my stuff that I can't carry around on my trailer. Thank God he's still alive. And the other three people, something happened to them. But there was another incident here yesterday with an overdose.
There was only one yesterday?
There was quite a few incidences yesterday, but only one that I know of for sure right here.
And was there only one death here yesterday?
I think so. Yes, only one death, and we think the guy's name was Josh. Nobody, you know, he got something and came here and shot it up or something.
Did you know Josh?
I didn't know who it was. I didn't know who it was. I didn't see the person. Nobody else seems to know who it was. Yeah, when you're a new kid on the block, you got to be careful. You got to find someone to co-sign for you. And I do a lot of that, but I do it carefully.
By co-sign, you mean?
Yeah, he's not a cop. Or he is a cop. Everybody will believe me, whether what I say, no matter which way. You know, I haven't ran into any cops out here. And I always recognize the plainclothes when they're off duty.
I think the police are doing undercover work here.
Have you seen? They could be.
But you haven't noticed anyone you think is undercover?
How in the fuck would I know? They think I'm undercover.
Aren't you?
Well, I got the initials DC. Hello.
I won't comment on that.
Yeah, I'm not from Washington, though.
I betcha.
But anyway.
Is your artwork available for donation?
Yes, it is. And I'm homeless again because of the shelter believing a story from a J-Cat basket case girl that I don't know, saying something I don't even remember saying sarcastically, that she took seriously that I was talking to somebody else and went and felt threatened by me. So that got me. Exited from the...
program was that?
The shelter, the loft. You know, I've been working 3 years to get into that place. And there isn't...
Did you get a hearing of any kind?
No, I got a little note at the security office when I tried to go home to go to sleep. It says, no entry. Exit immediately because of the type of my violation.
Violence violation, threat of violence.
Because of the threat, because of the whatever of my violation, the criteria of my violation or something, some type of.
How long ago was it?
About a month and a half ago.
And what did you then do? Where did you seek shelter?
There isn't any. you're looking at it, a parking lot that we get harassed in every night.
You're talking about this place here?
Yes, yes.
Lot 27.
Yes, I don't want to go to Benchland because that place is you know, no good.
Have you been down to the Benchland recently, or is it?
Yes. Yes, I have. It looks like people are getting taken away or abandoning their places.
When was the last time you were there?
Last night.
And any friends who live there?
A lot of friends live there, I guess. Yeah, a lot of people I know there.
And what's their perspective on this?
They think they're going to live there forever. I go, yeah, right.
And so you've been living here for the last month?
Yeah.
How are people treating you here?
I'm not worried about how they treat me.
Why not?
Because they keep me occupied with worrying about how I'm going to treat them. They're the ones that are kind of whatever. I'm very sober and very straight, and I don't even blink when I talk to you. And I want to do a new interview with Steve. I look like I was 100 years old on that thing.
Say that again.
That homeless interview I did with Steve.
I don't know if I heard that or saw that.
It went well. You ought to look at it. There's a guy that came down from Oregon because he saw it and wanted to meet me, and he found me, and he's hanging out, and he showed me why he came down here, and I can't even believe it's me. I look so tire worn, you know. I look a lot better now than I did 2 years ago when I did that. I look younger now. 62.
Youth is overrated.
Not funny. I want to do another presentation for the homeless, a worldwide statement I feel I should make before I pass away, if that will occur. I'm not sure yet.
Are you expecting to be leaving soon?
I've wanted to ever since I got kicked out of the shelter. Really broke my heart. I went through two programs to get to that shelter, and for the director to believe a statement from some JCAC girl and kick me out is incredibly unprofessional. Yes, yes, you can, Michael. Another Michael. But I know everybody out here, I'm very secure. People, women are coming here because they feel a little more secure here, which they are. There's not too much exploitation of anything here. There's a guy trying to start up a bike shop, but, you know, that won't last too long. But pretty much it's pretty straight here because of Keith. I help Keith. You know, I keep an eye on everything.
How does Cooper enter into this?
She's just a prop, but we let her think. You know, she's largely in charge, but her and Russell, they are such a bad example of anything that, you know, it's seasonal. You know, sometimes three seasons a day with them, on, off, on, off. He sits there right in front of her. He hates her, cusses about her all night, all day and night and everything.
He's in a separate lodging that she did.
Right. They're not together, but he's close. He's right out there front door to make sure that she's not messing around on him, which she never has with him either.
You haven't moved in?
No, I don't want to. She's a real mash unit, if you know what I mean. A real TV story. She enables more than anything. She enables people to stay dependent instead of, get the fuck out of here, man. Go get your own tent. That's what I say. I don't have time for these fools. Reconciliation's over with. We got to get to work in this world. We got to get projects that are world-friendly, which means kid-friendly, and implement more methods than the ones we have now and refine them like we have with other things, because that's what we have to do if we want to have our next breath. Now, I'm winning God at a breath-holding contest right now, but I'm about to, I don't know how this one's going to turn out, but I'm ahead so far on this breath-holding contest with God because I invented square mushrooms. I beat him to the punch. But I usually wake up, I lost again, huh, God? And he's looking down at me and goes, yeah, but I'll give you another try. So that's my next day.
You say that Cooper enables, but don't you think Keith also enables?
No, Keith.
Keith provides tents.
Keith provides more than they know what to do with, but
is that enabling?
No, it's giving them
what they need.
Yes, it's giving them a basic meal one basic meal all day. You can eat all day here. I don't eat here, but the meat donations that show up, I eat, and I cook my own. You know, I'm not a vegetarian, it's too whatever.
How's Loudon Nelson doing? I hear they're requiring vaccination proof to get in or giving you a lunch at the door.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I know they're
open. That's what I heard from Cooper.
Okay, well, I'm going to go investigate that because I like those senior lunches. Yeah.
And you can take a shit for 45 minutes, but then you better be on your way.
Yeah, we need these outhouses. They took outhouses away. We need more.
What have you noticed disappearing in terms of locations of outhouses?
They're disappearing. The one we have overfilled this weekend because of Thanksgiving. I mean, that's just like that is staying a little. I'm keeping the idiots out of there. You know, the J-Cats that go in there and spin.
There used to be an outhouse in front of the police department.
Right.
They just took that out like a month ago.
Right, and they're taking out benches.
And they took the ones out of Depot Park as well.
Right, right.
And I know they still have them at the library, and they may still have it across from the Red Church. I'm not sure about that.
They have one on the Red Church. They have one at the Black Walnut Tree. They have one at the one here at the Food Not Bombs, and that's ridiculous.
What about the parking garages? Are they open pretty much or not?
No, they aren't. They get those toilets get jammed up.
Closed, including the Cedar and the Walnut Street both? Or?
Yeah, all the indoor both buildings.
Are you giving away jackets? Are you giving away a jacket? Oh, okay. I need a new derailleur for my bike. It caught up on some string and wrapped my derailleur around my back sprocket, and I have a Raleigh S.
You checked with the bike church?
Not yet. I'm gonna. But if anybody just has an upside down derailleur, it's an upside down.
Contact Dreamcatcher, who's in the yellow. Tent?
The yellow tarp by the
yellow tarpy tent.
The wash fountain in parking lot 27.
And you're kind of the only place around here that has actual artwork around your place that I can see.
Right, because I am a true homeless artist musician. You want me to play my dulcimer for you?
Yeah, if you feel like it.
I will when you get up and go. The White Raven, I like that.
Yeah, well, and it's a hoodie anyway.
How's that for a raven call?
Maybe.
Crow for dinner.
I wake up to not ravens, but crows, so maybe I would know.
Raving crows?
What's the average price of your items?
$20 for a finished, select one. I'd like to have $20 for that.
And the others?
Whatever they can afford. 20. 20 is good. 10 is all right.
100 is better.
Yeah, 100. I've made 100 on unfinished paintings one night, a couple of nights. I've had over $100 night with unfinished paintings because I'm working on a bunch. Now, no, no, no. I'll take it just the way it is. Can I have it that way? I'll pay you more. Sure. You want me to sign it? Yes. And put NF on it. Not finished. And people pay me more. I have quite a selection here. I painted these last night. Yes, everybody. Come down and get one of my squishes. Look at that scene. That's just from paint dumping on that shiny stuff. I really like the shiny stuff. It can go this way, too. See that?
You can hang it on the wall any of four or more directions, actually.
Well, two directions on this one. I like
it
that way.
You can hang it.
It looks like an ice rink on a cliff, doesn't it?
It looks like a lake with little mountains.
Hey, Steve.
Right, right. That's what I see. And I mount that on a free mat board. All my material's free. I buy some of my paint. But mostly, I find it in good places. But that looks like a piece of birch bark, doesn't it? On a birch tree?
Looks like a bunch of red something to me, but it's your usual, you can interpret it in many ways, kind of Rorschach test sort of thing.
Right, I can put a nameplate there, but my surfing mushrooms are the...
I like that.
The new logo for Santa Cruz will be a mushroom. I want to do a mural of a surfing mushroom on a wall like that. But I think that wall's coming down. And this one is another one I'm doing. He's on a hydrofoil. See it?
I do.
See the hydrofoil down here. Isn't that cool? Looks like you.
We're going to stop advertising your paintings at this point.
Okay.
Particularly since we can't see them on this audio. And again, before I kind of do the sign off, do you anything you want to add
I wish I could get back into the shelter. I don't want to be homeless anymore. I need to have my stuff taken care of. I got musical instruments. I have artwork. I have some clothes. I have a bike and a trailer. I'm self-sufficient, but I'm handicapped. I can hardly walk. You know, my feeling's going. I'm losing the feeling in both feet. Pretty soon, I'm gonna not be able to even. Something, I don't know.
Is this diabetes or what the heck is it?
No, it's just from doing concrete work and running a concrete pump and being the only guy that shows up on moving day with a 7'2" big brother on the other end.
So I. You enjoy your own jokes for sure.
Yeah, I crack myself up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way to do it if you can.
I'm not codependent on anything except air. I need my next breath.
Yes, breath is definitely where it's at.
One priority is my next breath.
Have you considered going to the homeless union people and asking them if they can represent you and at least get a hearing before the shelter board people, whoever they are?
Well, they're younger than I've been homeless, I found out.
Well, that's true. But remember, don't be ageist now. Younger.
I've been homeless for over 35 years, and the guy that kicked me out was 20,
yeah,
32 years.
The homeless union representing you.
I am part of the homeless union, member number 3, I think.
Have you complained to them and said, what the
no,
fuck?
They just got my teeth. I just got my bike. I just got my pieces together because I got one of my stimulus checks. I'm now settling down and
so
getting.
You might give them a. They might contact and see what they say.
And I'm a veteran also. I can get some things done now. But
if you can find your way on your feet. You're saying it's a little mobility is a problem.
Right. I just busted my transportation with the derailleur. That's what I got to work on. And I'm trying to get some paintings done so I can go out and work because I usually sell them all. And I play my guitar at night and usually sit there all night.
What's your average take a day when you get out?
I really can't say that over the radio. It's basically $5 maybe, but on a good night, you know, when money's flowing,
might be much more.
Yeah, there's been a couple of nights just lately I've made over $100.
Well, we've been talking with
Dreamcatcher, the kid-friendly enforcement agent number 008 at your service.
Also known as, if I may say, your legal name.
Okay.
Michael O.
Michael Orr. O-H-R-E. That's how you spell it, but you pronounce it like O-R-R.
Indeed. I was trying to be semi-anonymous, but who cares?
Yes, who cares? The older I get, the less I have to lie about anything. That's what I like. People think I'm kind of grumpy, but I just don't have time for the sarcasm like I used to. I don't have time for the joking around or the double messages. I just tell it to you the first time straight. And if you don't believe me, then don't call me a liar to my face a second time.
Thank you, Dreamcatcher.
You're welcome. My heart is in San Cruz.
It was on one summer evening when I sallied forth, headed up to Calgary on the road up north. The leaders of the free world were meeting to decide the planet's fate. So there were some things I wanted to mention to this group of eight. I went up to the border and was greeted with a smile until they looked my name up and showed to me my file. The guard said that freedom Canadians hold dear, but it says right on this paper that we don't want your kind around here. So I feel I should inform you in case it's something that you missed. Now it is official, and I'm on the list. If you've ever wondered what they look like, then let me take a bow, 'cause I'm an outside agitator. You're looking at one now. They said I that they could find, but their data showed them that I might have some in mind. They copied all my papers, searched all around my truck, took my picture and informed me that I was out of luck. So I feel I should inform you in case it's something that you missed. Now it is official, and I'm on the list. If you've ever wondered what they look like, then let me take a bow. Cause I'm an outside agitator, you're looking at one now. I'm no Emma Goldman.
No, ma'am.
Or Commandante Che.
I know.
But someone up in Ottawa thought I should be turned away. So it leaves me wondering, what have I done wrong? Perhaps it is a crime I committed in a song. So I feel I should inform you in case it's something that you missed. Now it is official, and I'm on the list. If you've ever wondered what they look like, then let me take a bow. Cause I'm an outside agitator, you're looking at one now. Yeah, I'm an outside agitator, you're looking at one now.
Well, that cut off a tad abruptly, but the name of the song is Outside Agitator, and Rovix has this to say about it. In June 2002, I was turned away from the Canadian border and prevented from going to the G8 protests in Alberta. The immigration agent who turned me away showed me that I was on a watch list first. He wasn't supposed to do that, but he was so helpful that he did. Most of the time when you're on a watch list, it's not necessarily obvious, and you have to guess at why strange things keep happening. In my case, there was no need to guess. And here's a tad more from Dreamcatcher.
One-eyed Sonny.
You say you were a hero several weeks ago?
Yes, when we were doing the street musician thing out in front of Forever 21, this drunk guy came up and sucker-punched my one-eyed black friend, Sonny. And I immediately reacted with breaking my cane over his head. And then when he started attacking me, that's when everybody attacked him. It was so funny. How dare you push an elder down? But I tripped over my own feet, you know, backing up from him after I clobbered him, because my cane was one of those breakdown ones.
Was anyone taken to the hospital? Or?
It could have been, but things weren't that bad. I was probably the most injured, falling on my own arm.
Heroic moment.
Yes, I still got
you. Wined and dined and fucked. No,
I was a hero, yes. The whole Dreamcatcher, man, I can't help it. If any of my friends get sucker punched right next to me, I'll try to stop it before it happens, but if it does happen,
punch back.
I can't help but react with something. I'm just going to stand there and say, oh, why did you sucker punch? You're right.
Please don't do it again.
Please don't do it again. Yeah, I'll say please all right with a five-knuckle chuckle. Yeah, that was it. And he went to jail, but he's back out, and he's still kicking over signs and stuff. But, you know, I have started a relationship with this guy. I give him a light when he needs it. You know, he was just drunk and frustrated, but now he's got something to do.
Show up for Food Not Bombs meals?
Sometimes, but basically he's walking around with a new group of bearded drinkers, you know, which, you know, no open containers anywhere in the city, and the speed limit's 25 everywhere. And Dreamcatcher is available.
Thank you, Dreamcatcher.
You're welcome.
Oh, we're talking with
Michael Overson.
Mike, you're visiting Dreamcatcher, taking a rest in a chair. You said you've had some awareness of the disappearance of outhouses, restrooms, and closed primitive bathrooms, those that were open before, and there weren't many of them, downtown.
Yes. There have been
all of the buildings and state parks or the cement bathrooms closed down before midnight. And the only porta potties in town sometimes get hijacked. People will just stay inside. And there's one downtown, two by the library, and one right here. And that is the bathrooms. There used to be one in front of the police station, but they took that out. And quite a few of the other ones that were available are gone also. And the grocery stores will shut the bathrooms down at 10 o'clock at night now.
Gas stations, of course, have generally been off-bound.
Yes, and most of them are employees only, especially since COVID. So there are no bathrooms between 12 and 8, other than the few porta-potties here in town. And I think you are down to 4 now.
And your job has really put you in a position to be able to see this on a fairly regular basis.
I'm out when a lot of people aren't out during the day or in off hours and taking food to people. And luckily, I can ask restaurants that I'm picking up from, but sometimes it's just the gas station and Jack in the Box, and there our bathrooms are not open.
You look both ways and take a quick piss by a building? Or
That has been a solution a few times. When
happened to me the other day.
The last minute, and you can't find someone's locked inside the bathroom. You got to go when you got to go. And I have just not made it in time and got my pants wet before, too.
You didn't soil your butt.
Yeah, that's nice. Yes, at least I did not do that.
Any other comments or thoughts about life out for those outside in Santa Cruz these days?
It's hard enough just getting by. We're supposed to have social programs that are give people housing and give people a place to go to the bathroom and eat or cook food. They're not asking for something incredible. They're just basic necessities.
How long have you been a Santa Cruz worker?
I grew up here, so I've spent most of my life working here, probably about 20 or 30 years.
Are you threatened yourself in terms of eviction situation?
I'll say I'm free range, but I don't have a house either.
I'm going to leave it at that unless you have more that you come up with.
Sounds good to me.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
St. James.
And St. James, you say you have something for our shitty council?
We have a temporary solution to a permanent problem.
Execution of every second council member?
Switch.
Not in my agenda.
Gotcha.
But we need jobs. We need training. We need education for our young people.
Yes,
we need to educate our younger children and get them ready for the 21st century. And we're sorely, sorely underpowered. No, you focus on the tourism economy. It's a pitiful. No, you what? You sell a $6 cheeseburger and a $12 meal at Denny's? No. And your waitresses make, what, maybe $50, $100 an hour or in tips? That's not gonna cut it. No. They need high-class education. Here's a statistic for you, Robert. 160,000 people were registered to vote in Santa Cruz County. And out of that 160,000, 110,000 actually bothered to go vote. And here's another statistic from Caltrans. When I worked at Granite, I read the report, and 55,000 people a day use the Highway 1, Highway 17 corridor to go to a commute to Santa Clara County to find employment so they can afford to live here in Santa Cruz. Does that sound a little topsy-turvy to most people?
You gotta have the do-re-mi, James.
Well, the problem is we don't have any good jobs here. We're focusing on what? Agriculture. It's a $16 billion business, but that's going to dry up because of the drought. There are going to be farmers standing in the middle of their field with their hands in the air and unable to grow any crops. We're going to have a construction industry that's obviously going gangbusters. We have a student economy that 25,000 students at UCSC probably pulling in 25 grand apiece in student loans. That adds up to $168 million a year, literally. They support a lot of the local economy. And then you have the tourism business. What are you making? You have 10% property or housing tax or something for hotels. What, mom and dad drive in from Modesto and go to the beach and get a hotel room and it's $100 a night, and they're getting 10% of that in tax. Right?
TOT tax, yeah.
Yeah.
Transient occupancy tax. Maybe. I guess it's dropped. It was 12% maybe, or they're trying to make it 12%? I don't remember.
Yeah. I'm not really sure, but I know that there's a topsy-turvy imbalance in the economy. Right. We're focusing on the wrong areas, and we should be focusing on high-tech, because that's where people are going, over the hill to Santa Clara County, spending 3 hours a day in their automobile, and it's an hour and a half each way, and I was one of them. I did it to Fremont and back, and to San Mateo and back, and worked at dot-coms and data centers and some of the biggest companies over the hill. That's the only way you can make any serious cash. You're not going to make it as a waitress. You're not going to make it as a fry cook. You're not going to make it as a farm worker. It's not possible. It's topsy-turvy. And if I
two or three jobs and live in a closet.
If I had the means to do so, I would fire the entire city council. If their job is business development, they failed miserably, and they're very nearsighted, short-sighted, or myopic, or, you know, they're focusing on the wrong areas.
I know. We've talked about this before. Let me ask you something a little more current here, although what you're saying is current, of course. I understand there was I've heard that there were 1 to 3 deaths here last night. Is that accurate?
I wasn't here. Maybe you should ask Cooper, because she actually found one of the guys, and his lips were blue, and he'd been dead for hours.
I will do that. And again, we've been talking with
St. James.
Thank you, James.
They kill people. No, literally, kills people all the time. Almost.
Fentanyl.
The fentanyl is what the problem is. We need to eradicate this shit.
Thank you, man. But if you want to say, was it Tin Man again?
Yeah, Troy. Whatever. Ever since I lost my car, I've had to carry around like 50 pounds worth of my electronics in my backpack. My back's messed up. I've been trying to stash it places and been running my tent's been raided a couple of times, and I've lost some stuff. I don't even know exactly. And then the other thing is, everybody can play their music around here, like their rap music and their and talk hate and all that stuff. But when I try to talk about Yahweh, God, and Jesus Christ, it seems like I get nobody wants to hear that one, but everything else is okay, and it just kind of sucks, because if I'm wrong and the Bible if I'm right and the Bible is true, then a lot of my friends are doomed. And if I'm wrong and everything they say is true, I'd actually rather have it that way.
Maybe somewhere in the middle.
I'd rather have it, you know, I'd rather not believe in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? But it's helped me to become a better person. And I've seen miracle after miracle. I think you're miracles, and I'm pretty sure that it's real and true, and that everybody here is kind of like on some kind of crazy thrall or fantasy thing. And I'm just one guy, and I can't keep up, and I can't find, like, the support that I need to reach my potential.
There are people in town who believe as you do, you know.
To be able to do the things that I know that I can do with my mind for people. It's like I need a philanthropist that wants to ride a roller coaster to wealth and service or philanthropy, I guess you could say, because I have some awesome
comments on the deaths recently.
Guy that died here yesterday, he came down by me charging down by Cowell Beach the other night, me and a guy, and he knew me. I met him before. I think his name was Kevin. He's a real cool guy, real nice guy. But he said he was he rode his, like, 55. He said he rode his bike like 25 miles an hour everywhere he went. And I'm like, that's pretty good, because he had a good, but he had a fast, real expensive bike, so I couldn't believe he just laid down and died. But that's what you get for living in the fast lane. You hit the, come to the end quicker, I think.
Is this the guy who was found in the lot over there?
Yes, sir.
Is there anybody else who died here that you know of?
No, I heard there was something else, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was trying.
Trying to get away because it's been getting more chaotic here because of our camp, once again, peace camp. You know, a lot of people want to be around Cooper and Russ and the peace and the train. It's better than being in San Lorenzo, which is like being in the ghettos, you know, because a lot of people are victimized there. So I guess, anyways, I'm just trying to think of where we're going to go next if they try to kick us out. So.
And we've been talking with
the Tin Man.
Thank you, Tin Man. So next up, I present you with a wander through the Benchlands. I think it happened either the same day or the next day after this Food Not Bombs collection of folks. And here's what I found. So I'm counting a large trash dumpster at the head of the Benchlands. Trash can, three double hand washing stations. And I'm kind of taking a stock of how the facilities are down there, whether they look wretched, okay, wonderful. And it looks, it averages out, but you kind of get a few of my comments.
Do you have a lighter?
I do not. Sorry, babe. And it looks like some of the, there's a lot more tent space on the county building side than on the river side, where you have a double row of tents. The Goatman's tent is still here, but where is he is the question. Door or the food distribution place right near the Goatman's place. Goats. And fence is down around this place. Kevin? No sound of him here. And that's another Kevin than the Kevin Lacey who reportedly died of an overdose. So I'm talking with Whiskers here. I'll do some recording. And you got the big, if you haven't got the biggest tent on the lot, it's certainly one of them.
Well, it's definitely one of them. I definitely don't, it's the biggest one.
How long have you been in the tent?
That is for two people.
So it's a double tent,
yes.
Really.
Is there a space in between? There's a space in between the two tents that is covered. That's why it looks so huge.
How does it weather wind and rain?
Well, it's good. The tarp is one piece. That's the key thing. The tarp is one piece, and it goes over both tents and carries out through the middle and gets nice and tall. So. Yeah, it's good.
So you can stand up inside.
Yeah, the wind will take it sometimes, but you have to batten down the hatches when it comes. You know.
Now, what about the ground? Does it get much? Is it wet down during the rain? Do you feel much? You know, is it swampy? How is it?
Well, you see, that's what I'm in the middle of doing right now. I am going to be moving my tent up onto pallets now because it gets to be about 6 inches, well, lately it's 6 inches of water coming through the entire area, well, in most parts. And the camping areas where the tents are seem to be on the low spot, unless you're up against the hillsides on both sides. But
now, were you here before the most recent Benchlands incarnation in March? I mean, were you here February?
I was here since last year when Food Not Bombs came. That's when I came.
Now, so you were in the upper park.
Yes, yeah. I was up there for a moment. I was one of the first ones up there. When they shut down this area in the last year, in the beginning, and they moved into the uniform camping area enclosed with the cyclone fences, I stayed out of the cyclone fences and moved up into that upland area. So I was really the first one up there.
And how does it compare with, how does the upper camp compare with your current location?
The upper camp was nice because of this location and the beauty of trees over you and grass. Yeah, it was nice that way. But here is more, it's more open. Seems like there's more room down here.
And how is the, I ask this a lot, how's the theft situation for you? Do you get much in the vat?
I'm sorry, the
theft situation.
Oh, my God. Yeah, theft is one of my enemies. And everybody's looking at your stuff, and you don't want that to happen. So that's why I have it covered up. And you want to make sure that you have things locked up as best you can. Because, yes, sooner or later, eventually, inevitably, it will happen.
And does it happen among people you know, or do you find it mostly happens among people you never find out, or most people you don't know?
It's the first and second. It's people that you know, because that's how they get to, they come in close as friends, and then they end up taken from you because they see what you have. Most of the time you don't know who it is, because there's a number of people that you're having come over to your place. If it was just one person coming to your place, then yes, you would know who it was. But it's not that way down here. They know I have a lot of things, so they come for a lot. They come to ask, do you have this, do you have that? And I usually help them out. But yeah, the theft is a big problem. Always has been.
Last time it's happened?
The last time it's happened? Day before yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just it was a lighter, you know, I light my cigarettes with. But it can be from a lighter to a bicycle, which in my case would be the biggest thing besides the tent itself. But I take that back. When I lived on the west side, there was a campmate. I went to recycle at Costco back when it was at Costco, and I came back and he took my entire camp. He had two trucks roll up and he was off with my camp.
Did you ever see him again?
Yeah, I did see him again, and we are not friendly with each other. And it's going to get worse, I think, because I'm not happy with it. He gets away with all that. He gets to take my entire... He left me with my bike and my shirt that I came home with from the recycle center, and that's all I had to my name. So
this was a couple years ago?
Yeah, a couple years ago. That was the worst it's ever gotten. It's happened twice, though. Once was with the city, and when they took my entire camp. But it was nowhere near West Side, and recently, Caltrans kicked me off the freeway because I was out there near Morrissey, and I stayed as long as I could. And when it's time to go, I was going, but it wasn't as fast as they wanted me to go, and they ended up taking some of my camp too.
When were you taken? When were you ousted from there?
That was recent, because I took a break from here and went there, and it was about I'd say 3 months ago.
Did you maintain this tent while you were at Morrissey?
No. I came here directly afterwards, though. I was up there. I gave this a year break, just about a year break, 10 months break, and then I came back down here. I wasn't. I left the upper area soon after I started it. And once it got to be busy up there, I was out of here. I went back because I used to have that camp over in Marcy before all this started anyway.
Were you driven away that first time or did you just move?
No, I wasn't driven away. I had somebody actually take care of my camp while I was here for a full year and a half.
So you rented it out, so to speak.
Yeah, it's like it was kind of a rented out. Yeah, he took care of my things, and I paid him for that, and he got to stay there, and he was happy with that.
And you've maintained a good relationship with this guy.
Up until the very end. It's that, funny. It's funny that you say that.
So that was the guy who, yeah.
Well, no, that was a different guy, and he ends up taking me for a ride as well. And this guy I trusted, and he was trustworthy the whole time. No problem. Until he knew I was coming home. And once he found out I was coming home, that's when he started his business and got rid of a few bikes for me. And,
without your permission.
Without my permission.
They're building a wall between friends, a wall that justifies any means for their ends, a wall between Semites, rich and poor. Brothers and sisters, for not so long before, many feet thick and 20 feet high, no one can look through it and into the eye of a person you might know, to whom you might confide, now just a stranger on the other side. They're building a wall. Water and land, so we can eat fruit, they can eat sand, a wall to make sure that our orchards will grow, and our kids can get fat, and not need to know, of the cities in ruins, and the children in fear, that your fathers and brothers in tanks might be near. A wall to keep quiet, that which you fear most, so you don't have to listen to your grandfather's ghost. They're building a wall between future and past, a wall to keep distant the chambers of gas from the bulldozers' gunships and the tears of a child. Dignity, love, and honor defiled. The people's reality from your facts on the ground. A wall to keep distance the terrible sound of the houses that crumble and the children that die. A wall to keep separate the truth from the lie. They're building a wall, and at such a cost, land, money, and safety, and all the lives lost. A wall made of brick, but bricks can be broken when the people of Zion have finally awoken and said no more walls, no more refugees, no more keeping people their deeds, and then the history books will someday recall, before apartheid was ended, they were building a wall.
And that was their building a wall on June 16, 2002. Construction of the Israeli separation barrier began. It would quickly become clear that the wall would not be anywhere close to the 1967 border. Rather, the wall would be an instrument for the further theft of Palestinian land and a means to further atomize the West Bank into isolated little Bantustans. And now back to Whiskers.
And clothing and other things that meant, you know, that meant a lot to me. And it was that. So I kicked him out, unfortunately, and he still owes me today, and he has been paying, though.
Really?
He wants to try to make
it better.
And because he enjoyed our friendship before, and I think he wants that back. But other than that, he, after that was done, I made a full blown camp again. Here I am with a big camp again by myself, and then I invited a couple friends in to help me watch the place as so I can go to work, which is recycling, and so you can't leave your camp alone. There's no way you can do that. You would come home to a ransacked camp. So it's best that you keep things watched, guarded, as best you can.
So. Now, question has fled. What was I thinking? How are your relations with others in this camp? Do you find, because of your past experience, you tend to kind of keep to yourself, or have you made many relationships here? Any connections?
Yeah, I have made quite a few relationships. There is a lot of people that have respect, which is a really cool thing to have out here. I know quite a few people. There's a lot of people I don't know, but they know of me. And they hear that I have things, and so sometimes they come and introduce themselves. But for the most part, everybody seems to be super friendly to me. But sometimes I wonder why, and if they're after something. And that red flag will always be up. Unfortunately, I never used to be that type of guy where I trust first, and then I learned that I get burned, you know. So I've become a harder person out here, that's for sure. There's a lot of people, I enjoy camp sometimes because of all the people I know. And they all say hello and good morning, and they offer me this and that. And there's a lot of respect. I think I've gained that because they know I won't steal from them. They know that I won't steal from them.
Even when you're down to your last shirt.
Even when I'm down to my last shirt. Now, if you stole from me, and it was a big hurt, yeah, I might think about it. And I have. But I didn't like that about myself. I'm not that person. I'm naturally not that person.
Now, recently there have been, supposedly yesterday, some deaths from the benchlands from fentanyl overdoses. Any word on that?
That was, it's funny you asked, that happened right here. And there's no deaths, thank God. There's four people that went down, though, when they thought they were snorting cocaine, and they were actually snorting fentanyl. And they're after the person that sold them that false cocaine, and they're not happy with that person.
But no deaths.
No deaths are here at this camp. I don't know. I heard there was a death in camp on the other side.
Putnam Bombs, apparently a man named Kevin died.
That's correct.
That's what I heard.
I heard about Kevin, too. I was thinking this camp, but yes, it was Putnam Bombs parking lot.
Where, what about Putnam Bombs? What do you think of their service? How do you regard them?
Well, I don't get involved with them as much as I might or should. I don't know. There's no reason why. I like the people that are running it. I'm in friends with Russ and Cooper, and they're dear friends of mine. But and it's good to be informed because they always are informants, and they let me know what's going on. They let a few people know what's going on and when to move and when to act. But to get involved with Food Not Bombs, sometimes the food isn't as fresh. And that has come out in
out the other end?
Or? It does. And I don't want to say that their food is always bad because it's delicious most of the time. But there's that one or two times, and I'd rather not sometimes because of it. But I don't blame them. I don't talk down about them. I actually recommend them. But for me all the time, it's not for me all the time.
Now, you came back here to this camp in Hayman.
There's a lot of...
That's great. I'm talking.
Has it changed since you returned?
Oh, yeah. Well, it changed. I notice, even though there's still people arguing every day, and the drugs are here every day, it's not as bad as it was before when there was fights continuously, every day, all the time. And I'm proud to see that people doing heroin are starting to get along with people doing meth. And that's sometimes is divided. There are people doing both, but I'm happy to see that people are getting along a little better here.
Much alcohol use?
Not as much as you would think. There's some, but it's not as nearly as bad as it used to be.
Now, I see there's a kind of a food distribution center right across the way. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, there's a few of those down the way. The one that happens to be right across the way is a good thing. He's accepting food for all of us to take from.
And so you can just come and take what you want?
Whenever you want it, and as much as you want. There's other people that put out bread and fresher items as well. Sometimes he does get fresh items, and he puts out pumpkin pie. That was really good. I was excited to see that. And he's the only one with water. Usually there's none there right now, or there might be. But he's one with drinking water that you would pour out of a spigot. But
is there a water shortage here?
No. No, there is not. It seems to be flowing. It seems to be flowing pretty good.
Don't know where you're from.
Can we talk, please?
I am in a hurry. I invested money, and now I'm on hold, so I go somewhere else, do something else.
Okay.
How long do I have to take?
I don't know, Kat. I don't know. Maybe.
No, I mean, I'm not from here.
How much longer is this going to be?
I could take a breather if you want to make a quick interaction.
Take a breather.
It's up to you.
Just a quick.
Yeah, sure. I'll wait. Different when you returned more recently to this camp. How have things changed?
The people's attitude. The attitude is everything out here, you know. There's a lot of people fighting all the time. And there's sometimes it's good that there's a fight. So people will...
Let off steam?
Back up. Yeah, let off steam. But back up, too, because they've overstepped their boundaries. And there are boundaries. Everybody has boundaries. You need to learn the boundaries before you step over them. If you don't just step over them, there's going to be conflict. Yeah, and there's a conflict back there. And you can't interrupt either. You're not going to interrupt. You're interrupting. Please don't interrupt. If you got something to say to me, it's going to wait. Water, it's going to wait. Because I just gave you a water. If you want one, ask Brian. Ask Bruce. He knows what water is. Okay, so anyway, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Man, it happens to me all day long, every day. They come to me all the time. I'm the go-to.
You are the godfather, or the god-giver.
There's quite a few of us here that have that role, but it's a go-to, definitely go-to. I'm one of those guys, go-to. Go for this, go-to in for that, and they're pissed if I don't have it or have any information for them.
Now, do you have a phone contact yourself?
Yeah, I do. I have a hard time keeping it charged because I can't. There's so much to do. For me to leave is a huge process.
Even you'd go as far as the charging?
No, I can actually leave and come right back.
Right.
I can't leave and stay away for long, no. But unless I have somebody watching.
The reason I ask is I'm trying to get phone contacts in the bench lines because I'm concerned there may be, although I have no evidence that this is happening, ultimately a raid to remove people from here. The Pajaro River folks, for example, have been given in Watsonville, have been given I think it's a December 14th deadline. They had a temporary restraining order for a while, just as the Benchlands did, but it was just like the Benchlands was dissolved. This one was essentially, it's only going to last till the 14th, according to the most recent thing by the magistrate, Von Kuhl, who put the orders in place.
Oh, really?
And her excuse for that was, you know, people, they said, you know, well, there's not enough housing, so where the hell are people going to go? What she said was, and what the city attorney... But before we hear Von Kuhlen's excuses, it's the 13th, not the 14th. So let's
Let's not give any false hopes or any extra days.
Here, the county people there over in Monterey County said was, well, this is a special closed area. It's closed to the public. I'm afraid they're going to use a similar excuse in the Benchlands by claiming that the Benchlands previously was closed at night, if you're thinking of when it was a park. Mm. And they're going to say homeless people or people who are camping here, survival camping here, are welcome to be here during the day, but they have to leave at night, which, of course, would destroy all the camps.
Yes.
And so I'm concerned that they're going to do something like that, but I have no inner information that that's happening, so I don't want to spread any false fears or anything like that. But that's a concern, so I'm trying to maintain contact with people to see if I can sort of stay up to date on things when they happen.
Sure. I would love to leave you some information, but I got to respond to what you just said. And to have no camp at all, now that they developed one for people to go to,
is ridiculous
because that means the homeowners out there are really going to have a hard time with it. There's going to be more phone calls to the authorities than ever. And there's because people are going to have that wherever they want to go, and that's never going to stop. If they think they're going to stop homelessness in Santa Cruz, it's not going to happen. If anything, it's going to get bigger. And to have us with no place to go is absurd because we need. It'd be smart for them to keep us in a spot. Because then we're not causing havoc everywhere else we go. They don't want us anywhere else.
Plus, you kind of self-manage what happens here.
That's correct. That's correct. So it would be a big mess if they destroy this. Some people say that it's going to end, but there's also the people that are saying that it won't end, and this place has probably got another 5 years to go.
I hope that's right. Yeah. At least, I hope everybody gets better accommodations, but I think, you know, given that that's what you got, at the moment. I'm just concerned because, you know, they do arbitrary endings. You saw what happened at Highway 1 and Highway 9.
Caltrans
bullshit.
Right. And they really haven't found a spot for us to be. There's really no good spot for us to be.
They have found supposedly for 110 people. They're opening, the latest city council said on Tuesday, a week ago, was they're going to open up the Armory again for 70 people and 1220 River Street, the gravel barbed wire area, for 30 people. Not for 60 like before, but for 30.
Okay,
that's not very many.
How many people is here in this camp?
You tell me. I have no idea.
I have no idea either, and I would guess probably 200.
Yeah, I've heard that guess, even more.
Yeah, and definitely, I would say at least 200.
I mean, that's where people come. And in fact, 4 weeks ago, when they were considering this guy, Lee Butler, who is the sort of the homeless overzar guy, he's under the city manager, he laid out a list of what he was predicted he was going to do for shelter for homeless folks, not because he gives a shit about homeless folks, in my view, but because they want to enforce the camping ban. One of the places mentioned was the Benchlands.
Really?
And that was surprising. And the interesting thing was no one in the city council said anything about it, and no one said anything when that Benchlands was missing last Tuesday from the list of places. I mean, so I found myself wondering, are they then giving up on the Benchlands? Are they saying, I mean, it used to be, some people were saying that, and who knows if it's true, that on Thanksgiving was the deadline. They were going to get rid of people because, you know, winter rains, flood danger, blah, 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 that sort of thing.
And there are people thinking that the authorities are pushing fentanyl. Well, we know that's not true, but you wonder sometimes how people are dying left and right around here for doing the drug, if they're happy or not. There are ODs out here. But why isn't they coming down on... They say they are putting people behind bars as soon as they find it. But what's really... How the feds are in town? I hear a lot of things. But as far as putting us in a different spot, yeah... There's other places I can think of that would be better. And there's, like, for instance, the big field at New Brighton Beach, out in Aptos, Capitola or SoCal in that area. Nobody's ever going to be happy with wherever they put us. Wilder Ranch, somewhere where it's not going to be totally out of the way, so it can be somewhat convenient for us to get other
things. Basic support.
Yeah, that's right. So, but nobody, no matter which part of the county we go, somebody's going to be unhappy. And right now, this seems to be a good spot because there's no neighbors. I mean, quick. Until you get past the fountain area over there by the duck pond, but we're not in that area. We're over here next to the river, behind the courthouse, and there's really this so far I think is the best spot.
Any communication with any of the surrounding community courthouse people or visitors to the park or residents off of the?
No, no, there's not as many, I'm sure, that visit the park like there used to be. I'm sure there's a few, though. There's a lot of people that, you know, resident people that come along and just want to say hi. And a lot of friendlies come through. There's a lot of unfriendlies that drive by. And sometimes I worry about that. When I was living out in the freeway, my worst fear was a drive-by shooting. There would be no evidence of who did that if they did it. It would be a devastation to come out there with an Uzi and just blow everybody away. It would be easy to do. But thank God it hasn't come to that yet, and I hope it doesn't. But sometimes you wonder, because there's some angry people out there.
And you've been spending 25 minutes of your time talking to me, and we have been talking with...
Eric John Verduzco. They call me Whiskers.
Thank you, Eric, a.k.a. Whiskers.
My father's mother's parents came here on a boat. They came from a land of kings and queens, but on the wrong side of the moat. My father's father's parents came here on one too. They didn't want to leave Austria, but it was the thing for Jews to do. I don't know your story, but I'll bet it's more or less the same. What kind of war or famine was on when your family came before their ship arrived? Did your folks come here to discover and explore, or were they refugees running from the war? Did they cross the freezing mountains to make it to the sea, all the while wishing that they never had to flee? Were they marched across the jungles with chains around their feet, nearly dying of exhaustion in the desert heat before their ship arrived? Did they make a life here, or were they kidnapped and detained, held for years in limbo as their optimism waned? Were they turned down for asylum and told they shouldn't lie, then sent off to be tortured, sent back home to die? Did they get to move here, create their lives anew, or are they held on Christmas Island, asking what on earth they can do before their ship arrived? Before ride.
And that's it for this edition of Bathrobe Spears Broadsides, but Sunday is looming, and I'm likely to be looming with it and sending you some more interviews from the Benchlands. There's a few leftovers, and who knows, maybe I'll get some new ones, or maybe I'll find something new entirely. You never can tell. If you like this show, let me know, as an occasional listener has, so I can either be inspired, encouraged, or bucked up to keep it going. And if you don't, let me know why. You can give me a call at 831-423-4833. You can email me at rnorris3@hotmail.com. Back at you next time.
I grab the mic because I like to take it to another mental level. Low power frequency radio modulation. The big sound from underground, another pirate station. We bring the truth to places truth has never heard before. We bring the sound communication of our tribal war. Dark vision fly by helicopters in the night. Attempt triangulation of our station in the fight. Straight from the base, deep down, no precision. High crime treason, we broadcast in sedition. Like the Wall Street Morning Afternoon Edition. Commandeering airwaves from unknown positions. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded. With information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and support it. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded. With information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and support it. Ha ha.
Michael, my
don't take no prisoners if you can't afford to feed none. Don't start no fights if you cannot predict the outcome. Don't make donations where you cannot get your dough back. Fuck the apathetic bullshit.
send them all your Prozac. I will not climb into your telephone tree, and hell no, you cannot put me on hold. It's the same recorded message you've been singing all along. Keep handing us the Bible while you're walking off with all the gold. The bureaucratic office sends you merry-go-rounding, while the KKK police the streets by bloodhounding. Interest on the credit card just keeps on compounding, but the FCC can never shut this pirate sound down. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded, with information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and supported. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded, with information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and supported. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded, with information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and supported. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded, with information that would never be reported. Disregard the mainstream, media distorted. We come and listen and support it.
In fact, it doesn't even matter to tell what it's in front of.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not the baby. You don't want to be the baby.